Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Stephen Lay, author of the new book, 100 Million Years of Food, What Our Ancestors Ate and Why It Matters Today. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor. If you're like me and you put hot sauce on everything, it's time to check out Fuego Box, a hot sauce club that delivers boxes of small batch and gourmet hot sauces right to your doorstep. They focus on flavor over heat and always avoid gimmicky selections. Think of it as a hot sauce club for people who love food. To purchase, go to fuegobox.co and use code CLEVER for $10 off your first box. That's fuegobox.co, promo code CLEVER, for $10 off the best hot sauces you've probably never heard of. We hear so much now about what humans historically ate, especially in conversations about the so-called paleo diet. But how do we actually know what people ate through the millennia?
Okay, there's a couple of issues here. So in the paleo diet, they focus on a period of history when we were living as hunter-gatherers. But hunter-gatherers actually lived in a lot of different kinds of environments. So one interesting question then is, which kind of paleo diet are we talking about? It's probably more realistic to say then that our ancestors lived in a wide range of environments and ate a lot of different kinds of foods. So I think this is one reason that the paleo diet has been criticized so much.
When you look at what people ate over time and in different places, what kinds of information are you looking for, and how can we use that information to determine what we should be eating today?
So one way of looking at that is, some people would argue then that if our ancestors were eating a lot of meat, if they're doing a lot of hunting, eating occasional berries and roots, then this is the kind of diet that we should be trying to mimic in our current environments. Obviously, we can't go hunting anymore, but we can go look for something that's close to game meat, for example. And we can try to stay away from starches because our ancestors did not have access to a lot of starches in their diet until about 12,000 years ago. So based on the idea that our bodies are adapted to this prehistoric diet, some people would argue that that's the way we should be eating today. And then you can do additional studies on top of that to see if straying away from this kind of diet would be bad for our health. So that's the standard argument about using evolutionary history to study how we should eat today.
How about the connection between the way that we move and the way that we eat? Obviously, the lifestyle of people throughout time in different places was probably very different from the mainly sedentary lifestyle we have now. How does that affect this?
Right. And I actually think this is a major point. I believe that today people are worried too much about what to eat. And we end up shifting back and forth between different kinds of diets, trying to optimize our health. But really, I think you hit it on a key point here. It's really about the movement. So if we have a chance, if people have a chance to move around throughout the day over long distances, then it seems that we're able to control most of the problems that we actually think are related to food. So I think we're worrying too much about food and forgetting about the fact that really, if we have an active lifestyle, that resolves most of our major food-related disorders.
So much of our approach to food today sort of wants to demonize particular foods and really turn others into the end-all, be-all of being healthy, whether that's sugar or dairy or caffeine. Is there any benefit to thinking in this really black and white fashion, or is moderation a more helpful way to go?
Yes, I think you're right. It's the tendency to demonize foods and to put others on pedestals. I think that's part of human nature. People tend to adopt, for whatever reasons, one particular kind of diet, and then they try to spread this around. And it's a bit like religion in that way, or like ideology. So I think a healthier way of looking and thinking about food is if you look at traditional cuisines, regional cuisines, and they already figured out through trial and error how to balance different kinds of nutrients so that we had a complete set of nutrients, and also the food tasted pretty good to those eaters. So if we follow traditional diets, then we can get around the problems of trying to decide what to eat, and then we don't have to go around demonizing foods.
You write a lot in this book about the ways that different societies in different places throughout the world had very different kinds of diets. And we hear a lot about this in terms of things like lactose tolerance or certain ingredients that some people process better than others. How much information can we take from that? And how much should we spend time trying to eat the way that our specific ancestors ate?
So if you know exactly where your genes come from, if you can trace your ancestry to a particular region, then it's a good bet that you can eat that particular kind of diet and maintain good health. So in extreme cases, for example, with the Inuit, then since they were not exposed to a lot of sugar and starches in their diet traditionally, they seem to have genetic adaptations that allow them to process diets that are based largely on meat. So in those cases, when you can trace your ancestry to a specific region, eating that kind of diet is probably a good thing. On the other hand, most people in the United States today have quite mixed ancestry. In this case, it's harder to trace your roots to a specific region. And so in this case, being more flexible about your diet is probably a good idea.
Some of the buzzwords that we think about in terms of how to eat well these days, like local or GMO-free, are sort of things that might have been a given when people didn't have the ability to import food from so far and weren't really doing a lot of genetic modification. Does that necessarily mean that those things are less good for us, or is that just part of evolution and learning how to make food differently?
There's a lot of worry, concern about the effects of eating genetically modified foods. The evidence so far doesn't suggest that eating GM foods has a strong effect on human health. So they're still doing more experiments on this, and it could turn out in the long run to have some effects on health. But for the moment, scientists haven't really come up with strong evidence to say that eating GMOs is a bad thing. On the other hand, we're making rapid changes to the environment through introducing GMO foods. And so on that level, we might be concerned about what we're doing to our environment. And as for eating local, I mean, here it makes sense economically. It makes sense in terms of the environment to eat local foods. In terms of our health, probably not such a big effect. But I think besides just worrying about our nutrition, we probably want to also worry about how we're leaving the environment for future generations. And so in that case, things like being aware of local foods and GMO-free foods is probably a good thing.
What are a few of the major takeaways that people can learn from the history of how our ancestors ate that are really important to keep in mind today?
Yeah, I think one important thing that I learned from researching the history of food and the evolution of the human diet is that people often use the word health pretty loosely. And when you look at different kinds of diets, they often have mixed results. And some of those results are going to be bad and some of those results are good. And so when people try to promote their diets, they'll focus on the benefits, and then they may not tell us what's bad about the diets. So I think when we're looking at different kinds of diets, it's important to have a broader picture and to think about the costs and the benefits of each kind of diet. And so, for example, eating meat, eating a lot of meat, it's quite likely that eating a lot of meat would make a person physically stronger, make them more robust. You probably have a better chance of being an athlete. Sumo wrestlers, for example, would want to eat a lot of meat. So that's healthy in a sense, right? But then there's also healthy in the sense of living a longer lifespan. And it turns out that eating less protein has a very high likelihood of extending your lifespan. So we need to have a nuanced view of health. And that's something I learned from looking at the broader view of the evolution of the human diet.
Thank you so much for sharing these insights with us today, Stephen.
You're very welcome.
For more really fascinating information, check out the book, 100 Million Years of Food, What Our Ancestors Ate and Why It Matters Today. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.